All right, this morning, we have a special time together this morning because of your offering and your giving, we are able to do what the Lord Jesus Christ asked us to do. Before he left, he said to make more and better disciples, but he also said in Acts that we're to go and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, we can't be every place like that is, but we can partner with people who do that. And that's what we're going to hear about. One of our partners in ministry, Joel Lorena King, and he's going to come and share this morning, and they're both going to share. And I wasn't able to hear to be the first service. I was teaching a class, so I'm looking forward to hearing from them. And so come on up. We appreciate you coming this morning and sharing what the Lord's doing where he's called you to minister.
Good morning. Good morning, Grace Point. Just real quick, I want to start out with a little history. I don't know if a lot of you know this, but I see some people I know that I haven't seen for a very long time, but part of that has to do with this church. I don't know if you know this, but this church, back in a prior name, has supported our family and my parents and us for over 56 years. To this church. And I remember not in this building, but in another building, as a little kid in the late 70s and the 80s, as being on this stage, as my parents would drag me up here and, you know, put us out here. I don't do that to my kids. They hate it. I hated it back then, but my parents did it anyways. My point on that being is this church and this congregation and people in this church have been a part of missions and sending missionaries to the far reaches, as Pastor mentioned, for many, many years. And I want to personally, as somebody who has been on the seeing end of those ministries and the seeing end of taking the gospel to the far reaches, I want to thank you. I want to thank the pastoral staff and the leadership of this church for having that vision of seeing the gospel go as far as we can take that gospel. And I'm going to share some stories hopefully today that will hopefully encourage you that are here of how far that gospel is going and supporting our brothers and sisters and churches around the world. We started out I'll start about 15 years ago. We were very comfortably living in Seattle, Washington. I was working for a small software company. I had all my pilot's licenses and ratings, but I actually wasn't in aviation. I was working for a software company. My wife was working in the hospital medical field. She was working in x-ray tech. And we were doing really well. I had a beautiful house, had a great life going, and making really good money. But something was missing in our lives. And we struggled having peace with where we were at, knowing that God had something different for us. That we had gifts and abilities that God had given us over the years of growing up, for me, growing up on the mission field, growing up in aviation, that I wasn't using to the fullest. I actually wasn't using at all. We were involved in our church. We were involved in men's and women's ministry. And we felt that's where we were supposed to be. But at the end of the day, when we looked at what we were doing for the kingdom, we didn't like what we saw. And so we kind of felt God moving us to another direction. And about 10 years ago, we were accepted with Africa Inland Mission. Africa Inland Mission has been around for about 126 years, established in Africa. And more specifically with AIM Air, Africa Inland Mission's aviation division, which has been around for about 45 years. And so about 10 years ago, we started about that journey of transitioning ourselves and our families into full-time ministry, serving the kingdom and using our gifts and abilities for the purpose of growing the kingdom and taking the gospel to the far reaches, as we were commanded to do. And so about 8 years ago, we moved overseas. We were in Kenya originally. We were in Nairobi. And a quick geography lesson here. There's Africa. And we've got Kenya, South Sudan, Tanzania, Uganda, Central African Republic, and DR Congo. These are some of the areas that AIM Air flies, mostly across East Africa. And so we initially were in Nairobi for about a year as we transitioned our pilot, my licensing, and just kind of got our family up and running in what it was like to live in a third world country overseas. And then shortly after that, we moved to Lokochogio, Kenya. When we were living in Nairobi, I would go up to Lokochogio and fly out of there for a week on end up into South Sudan, spend quite a bit of time in South Sudan. And I'd live in the rundown house that was in this desert bush village. And it was like, dear God, please don't send me here. A number of years ago, 15 years ago, I think I said, or I felt God asking me, why are you so afraid to talk to me? I said, I'm afraid of what you're going to ask me to do. I'm afraid you're going to send me to Africa. We sang that last song, and I don't remember the exact words, but as we were singing it, I was thinking of, what was the last words to the song that you were singing? It was talking about giving up our whole selves.
Surrendering all.
And so as a kid, I always used to think that surrendering all was giving up all of my stuff. My nice house and my toys and my things and my fun time and, you know, vacations and things like that. And so surrendering all, what does that mean? And I've always felt that it was God taking away all my fun. Moving up to Lokochogio, I thought, oh, this is truly surrendering all. This is the desert. It is hot, 115 degrees easily during the day. Hot, dusty, desert. We spent 4 years there. Four of the most wonderful years of our lives. The people, the ministry, seeing God move and God work in these areas. I can't describe it. I can't explain it. I'll try and show a video a little bit later that maybe you can kind of get a picture of some of the people that we got to work with and the people that we got to serve and pour our hearts into. Surrendering all as a kid, it's not giving up our fun. It's not giving up our freedom. It's saying, God, here am I. Use me for what you designed me for. Use me for something way bigger than I could ever imagine in my own life that I could create. We moved up to Lokochogio. We were the base managers there. I was a pilot mechanic. I spent 80% of my time flying up in South Sudan. And it was an amazing time. Absolutely loved the people that we were working with up there. Loved the ministry. But one of the biggest problems we found was a lack of pilots. A lack of missionary mechanics and missionary pilots. And we were just stretched too thin. We had a base over in Arua, we had a base in Nairobi, we had our base in Lokochogio. And we had to make a decision with the way the ministries were moving and where they were going. They were going farther and farther into the bush, farther to the ends of the earth. And so we had to make a very difficult decision to close down that base in Lokochogio. And so last time we were here, 3 years ago, we were talking about us being called to Arua, Uganda. And so when we returned in January of 2019, we packed up our base in Lokochogio and we took the families that were there and we all moved over to Arua, Uganda, which you can see on the left-hand side of the map. And we started developing that base. Well, the hope was that the pilot that was there was going to continue to fly, and that we would combine both of us and be able to have a strong, solid base with two caravan pilots and two 206 pilots. These are the airplanes that we fly. That's a Cessna 206 that holds six people, and this is a Cessna Caravan, which is the turbine that holds 14. And I was mostly flying the larger airplane because we just didn't have a lot of caravan pilots. And so just before we got overseas, or back over there, in 2019, we found out that the other pilot was stepping back. The amount of flying that he had to do, it taking a toll on him and his family. And he was going to stay on the field, but he was going to stop flying. So we combined the two busiest bases for AIM Air that does 80% of the flying that was normally spread between two pilots to moi. I loved him. They made a joke, our general manager made a joke when we were getting back over there. He says, before you get back here, we're researching feeding tubes and catheters. Because if we're going to stick you in that airplane, you're not getting out. And we did a lot of flying. And it was amazing. I'm going to show you a ministry that we did a lot of flying for. But God sustained us through it. A big part, I'm going to get to, I have a point with the lack of missionary pilots. I want to get to that. And I want to talk a little bit about what the Cachardos saw a little bit this summer. And then what God's leading us into. But before I do that, I want to talk a quick story. When we got over there to Uganda, part of the reason we were going over there is because of what was going in Central Africa Republic. Easter 2017, our general manager got a phone call from our missionaries in CAR, in Zemio. The U.S. Special Forces had been up on the mission station, listening down as the rebels were advancing down from the north. The rebels were coming in, and they were taking over massive areas. They were taking over the villages and all the roadways to make room for their cattle to graze. And in their way were these Christians. And so the special forces had been sitting there. There weren't enough of them there to hold them back. There weren't enough of them there to do anything. But they were basically listening, kind of keeping track. And they came to our missionaries. We had roughly 25 missionaries at that station, the station that AIM had developed for over 30 years. And they said, we're heading out of here, and you guys might want to think about doing the same thing. So we got a phone call saying, we need you guys airborne first thing in the morning. Take two of these airplanes, get over to Zemio, and pull them out. It's roughly 480 miles, roughly a different distance between here and Chicago. So we got to think about that. That was, we were their contingency plan for something like this happen. And so the very next morning, one of the airplanes came up from Nairobi, and I took that airplane right there over to Zemio, and we pulled out our missionaries. And I'd love to tell you the story and how we did all that, and it was exciting. It was a complete, God put the whole thing together. But more importantly, I want to talk about, unfortunately, the people that we had to leave behind. The Christian Church of Central African Republic. The persecuted Church of Central African Republic. The thousands, the tens of thousands of Christians that over the next month or two were chased across the river into Congo. They were chased up into the bushes, up into the jungles of Central African Republic around Djema and these other places. You guys probably never heard about. You might have heard about what happened to the Central African Republic. But you probably never heard about what happened to the tens of thousands of people in the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that were chased from their homes, their villages, their fields, their livelihood. They literally had minutes to grab pretty much their kids and run. Unfortunately, a lot of the church leaders were killed in the process as they escaped across the river and into the bush. And so for the next year, actually partly while we were back here on home assignment that next year, nobody heard where they were, where they went, what was happening with them. And our missionaries started getting word that little villages were popping up in the jungle. Away from the road system, away from where the rebels had come in and taken over. And every once in a while, some of the people would try and get back into their village or into their farms a little bit. And unfortunately, we heard stories on them being killed and them being shot, trying to get back to their villages or back to their farms. They had nothing. If you can imagine, and I can only imagine because I've been there and I've seen the villages that they started back up again. But if you can imagine in a moment's notice grabbing your kids, your family, and running for your life. Nobody was doing anything about it. The UN wasn't doing anything about it. The World Food Program wasn't doing anything about it. The government was in such shambles as it was, they weren't doing anything about it. And so for about a year, they survived in the bush by themselves. I have no idea how they did it. But word started getting about where these settlements were starting to pop up. And what areas the Christians were starting to gather again. And AIM as itself, our AIM missionaries, we didn't have the resources to do it, but word got to Voice of the Martyrs. A lot of you have heard about them, VOM, Voice of the Martyrs. They do a lot of incredible work in areas like this. And we partnered with them. They said, we don't have the people to do this, but we've got the money, we've got the resources. If you guys can put together some sort of relief package, we'll fund it, we'll finance it. And so we started to do that. We were one of the biggest jobs that we had while we were over there this last term was starting to research and resource simple tarps, mosquito nets, blankets, pots and pans, just anything that they could cook in, plastic bases, anything that was light. We went to manufacturers and had them redesign their pressing machines so that they could create these aluminum pots that would all fit inside each other. And so we could pack these airplanes with just thousands of pounds of these relief supplies. And we were able to get medicines, and we were able to get salt and soap, very basic things. And we would put them on these trucks, these big man trucks. So here's Obo. These trucks, these ones right here, we would load these trucks up, 4, 5, 6 of these trucks with all of these supplies and jet fuel, drums of jet fuel, and it would take them 4 weeks to go from Arua, our base in Arua, up through South Sudan and end up over there in Obo. And then from Obo, we would bring the airplanes in and we'd do these distributions. Depends that it would be 2-day distribution, 5-day distribution. Getting these supplies, these very basic necessities into these places like Jemma and Zemio, and then farther to the west was Rafai, where a Bible college was. And these Christians, it was amazing how resilient they were in staying together and staying focused on God, and staying focused on what they believed in. And with the surroundings falling apart around them, their faith held strong. And we were able to start doing these distributions. Over the 3 years that we were there, we did over 200,000 pounds of distribution into these churches, into these places. I'm going to show a video here in a little bit that's going to show a lot of that. Big bales of clothes. First time I went to these places, the kids, if they had clothes on at all, they were barely hanging on, just shreds. And so one of the first things we did was somebody donated these big, huge bales, and we filled up a whole airplane full of bales of clothes. As simple as that. The persecuted church. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, who to some were forgotten, but to others weren't. The reason I tell this story is I want to encourage you as a church that you have had something to do with that. You have had something, even though you weren't physically there. You had the finances and you had the prayer to support missionaries such as us, that we're able to go and be a part and see this firsthand. So first off, I want to thank you as a church for having visions for missions, for visions for seeing the gospel going to the far reaches of the world to spread the gospel. The Bible school in Zemio is back up and running. Or sorry, not in Zemio, in Rafai, is back up and running. They were able to kind of get back into some of the areas that they were chased out of. They're slowly able to get back into some of those areas, not all. When I did the last distribution in March and April, we were starting to hear word that the rebels were realizing the folly of their ways, and they were laying down their guns in some places and allowing them to come back in. In others, not so much. And so the last report I have is the roads are cut off again. And the only way into these areas to support these Christians, these churches, is through these airplanes. It's the only safe way to get in there. We can get the trucks as far as Obo. The last 100 kilometers from the South Sudan border to Obo are all under heavy guard, heavy convoys. And we're able to get them to Obo, but then from there, we're able to get them up into these areas where they're not being affected. So I want to thank you as a church for being a part of getting the gospel, getting the word of God, and getting hope to these far reaches. I want to share a passage in Matthew that I think speaks to this. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whenever you did for one of these least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. This church is a part of that. And I want to thank you. I want to have Lorena come up and share just briefly. So while I was involved in this, I was also involved, we also fly for about 70 other mission organizations with AMER. And so even though we were very heavily involved in what was going on in Central African Republic, we were also flying hundreds and hundreds of hours for quite a few other ministries all over South Sudan and Congo and in Kenya and Uganda. But while I was out, able to go and do all the fun flying and everything, Lorena had a fantastic ministry among the women in Arua.
Fun flying. Good morning, church. So very true. While Joel was out and doing a lot of the international stuff, of course, the kids and I were not involved in that. We stayed in Arua, and Renee was finishing up her senior year of high school online, and Ian was finishing up his junior year. And my ministry always has been to work with the nationals. Wherever I was planted, the Lord would just bring me to a group of nationals, and that's that. Other than my kids, I do love my kids, but that filled my heart to overflowing. So when we were leaving here last time, we were moving from Lokochogio in northern Kenya to Arua. That was already planned, and so I knew it was coming. And I had done many moves before. We moved to Nairobi, we moved to Lokochogio. As Joel said, our experience in Lokochogio was incredible. From us not wanting to go there originally, we loved being there. My daughter always says that when she looks at pictures of me from beforehand, from when I lived in America, to pictures from that were taken in Lokochogio, she would say, Mama, you found your smile. And it's true, I found my smile there. So when we were moving to Arua, I thought it was just another move. And in fact, it should have been an easier move. Arua is lush and tropical and has all the fruits and vegetables, has butter in all the stores. I didn't have to stock up for 3 months for a supply of butter. It should have been wonderful. Our teammates were wonderful, but I was not wonderful. I really struggled. I missed my Anna ladies I had worked with in Lokochogio, the ones that did the necklaces, if any of you were here last year, those ladies, and my national friends, and I missed my life there. And even though I had everything I should have needed physically, and my teammates in Arua were wonderful, I felt alone and I was angry. And Joel was gone a lot. Not his fault, it's what we were there to do, but he was gone a lot. But one of those days, as Joel was out on one of his multi-day flights, it was God who met me again. God has always been the one who has sustained me. Jesus has been my stabilizer, and he stabilized me again. He showed me how he was there waiting for me in Arua. He wasn't the one who looked away. I was the one who had turned away. And it's amazing what happens when you realize that basic spiritual truth, that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And it's not just in the Bible, but when you realize it in your heart, it changed everything. And that's when I met these girls. Not those girls. There's Ian. There's my girls. So that is Ian. Okay, you can go back to that. So that is Ian. He was helping on one of the CAR flights, helping with distribution. And he has now has a huge passion to continue on with missionary aviation, which Joel will share about in a little bit. But these are my girls. And so a different age group than the ladies I was working with in Locochogio. I was working with single mothers in Locochogio. These were teenage girls. They're primarily 14 to 18 years old, and they were involved in prostitution. Our church had an outreach program where they would go and try and build relationships with these girls and invite them to live in the House of Hope for a year. And during that year, they learn about the Bible, they learn about Jesus, they learn different skills to help keep them off the street, they learned hairdressing or crocheting, different life skills to help them make different decisions in their life. My part of it was to teach the heart of God, my favorite thing to talk about. And so as I started meeting with the girls, they were polite to me, but I'm a lot older for them. And I thought, you know, younger age group, 14 to 18, I thought, okay, maybe if I have my daughter, Renee, who's an artist, come in and we'll incorporate an art project along with the teaching. That'll make it a little bit more interesting. And so Renee came in, and she started working with the girls in just basic art projects and talking about Jesus through a translator. And the girls responding so well to Renee. Renee at that point is 18 years old. These girls are 14 to 18. And so they're talking with each other in their own Lugbara language, but the translator would tell Renee what they were saying. And so Renee and I made a switch to, or a shift, that she started teaching as well. She is at Liberty University right now getting her education degree. She wants to be a teacher of high school students. Her desire is English literature, but she was started out teaching the Bible to Lugbara students. But they responded well to her, and it was a great experience for her as well to not teach at an academic level, but to teach at a level that they could understand. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful time for me to mentor not only these girls and raise them up, but to mentor my daughter and help her to come into what God was calling her into teaching and getting the confidence to do so. And it's not easy. Each week she would coordinate with a trauma healing counselor about what had been taught that week. She would formulate what she was going to teach, come up with the content that she was going to teach, an art project, get together with a translator to have it translated into Lugbara, and do it. And she did a fantastic job, and the girls made huge, huge strides. But it's not easy, as you can well imagine. The battle for their hearts is huge. And so a lot of the girls, even though they're invited to stay in the house and they have food and board and an opportunity for a new life, some choose not to stay. They go back to dysfunctional families. They go back on the street. But a few do stay. And one girl in particular, her name is Akisu. She was our translator and our very, very, very good friend. She was a Muslim. She accepted the Lord as her Savior. And with her knowledge of the Quran and the Bible, She is able to do amazing, amazing things. She's gone on to YWAM discipleship training. She passed that. She has led her mom to Christ, and she is just a dynamic young lady with a huge future in front of her. She's come back to be part of the house and to continue to translate, to encourage, kind of like a big sister of somebody who has made it beyond. Please pray for them. I won't give their names, but just the girls at the House of Hope. If you ever think of them, they do have a huge battle to dig out of where they've been and where God is calling them into. But one thing that I'm reminded of is from Isaiah 61. You were talking about Isaiah. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. And to the last verse in 11, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Hope and restoration. I think it's encouraging to know that it's still going on. Those ladies, just like here, they had a hard time through COVID. They weren't able to meet as frequently as they would have liked. But God's word continues to go out. And so thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. And just be encouraged that God's word is going out and many lives are being saved and changed.
As you can tell, hopefully, we have absolutely loved our time over there. But we had to make a very difficult decision this last year, in that we have a senior in high school that had graduated, was starting at Liberty University. We have a son right behind her that is a senior this year now and is graduating and wants to attend Liberty University next year in their mission aviation degree program. The U.S. is not what it was when we left 8 years ago. And so to send our children back after growing up in the bush of Africa and the village of Africa, to us we felt could potentially be devastating for them. And so we spent a fair amount of time, actually about a year, in counsel with some very close friends of ours, some people that we deeply, deeply respect, very godly people, along with our leadership. And we made the decision that for now, we should probably come back with our kids and help them settle back here in the U.S. And in our prayers through that, we really felt God giving his blessing upon it and releasing us from Africa were the words that we heard, that you are released from Africa, but not from ministry, not from missions. And so that kind of eliminated a lot of what I would do. I could very easily go and get a job in corporate aviation, in flying airlines or doing anything like that. But that's not where my heart is. That's not where my passion is. That's not where my skill set is, and that's not where my experience is. That's where the money is. But it's not about the money. It's about what God wanted to do with the skills and the abilities that he's given each of us. And so over that time period, some things started to come together. Our daughter wanted to go to Liberty University. Well, amazingly, Liberty University last year started a brand new mission aviation degree program. Oh, wow. They had one before, but it just didn't have anybody there really pushing it forward, and it was too similar to their corporate commercial track. And so they got a hold of us and wanted us to come and be a part of that. At the same time, AIM Air was in desperate need for somebody on the East Coast to do recruiting for more pilots. AIM Air, along with all the other mission organizations overseas right now, are desperately needing more pilots to fill the roles to do the type of work that we were doing. And so AIM Air asked us if we would stay on with AIM Air and be an East Coast recruiter and go to different universities and different places and recruit up. But then more importantly, work with those candidates as they go through the process of getting ready to go overseas, making sure all the pilots had all of their certifications and all the experience that they needed to be successful and safe overseas. But then even more important than that, usually we spend so much time working on the pilots and making sure that they're ready. And in most cases, the pilots is the husband. Not all cases. We actually have two of our pilots are females, are ladies. But in a lot of cases, you have the pilot, but then you have the rest of the family. And that rest of the family unit sometimes doesn't get as much attention, maybe as they need, to make sure that they're prepared. As base managers for the last 5 of the last 8 years, we had to experience, we worked with some stuff that we would have liked to have seen as husband and wife and family get taken care of back here stateside, to prepare them a little bit better for that transition, to transition their family to a foreign country. And so Lorena is a major, major part of what we're doing back here stateside in working with the wives, working with the families, and coming alongside of them and making sure that they have the tools and the skills just the understanding and knowledge of what it's like to be a wife of a missionary pilot. And so that's the big role that we're kind of stepping into for AIM and AIM Air, is they've asked us to stay on and do that. And then recently, Lorena was asked also to be a part of the short-term team. So short-term candidates wanting to go to serve overseas. People who have felt a calling, maybe not for a career, but for a short time, have felt a calling to go and share their gifts and their abilities, either as a nurse, as a camp counselor, a short-term Bible translator, or a short-term nanny, somebody helping out a missionary family. There's a lot of different opportunities for people here in the States to go overseas and spend a little bit of time and get a vision for their life, for maybe down the road what God might have for them. And so those people come through the system, and Lorena's going to be working as an administrative assistant, helping to shepherd them through that process. Somebody who's spent the last 8 years over there will be able to care for them a little bit better and a little bit more efficiently and help them along that way. So we've got a lot of different things going, but we're also, I think I've mentioned that we're going to be at Liberty University. So Liberty University asked us to be a part of their Mission Aviation degree program. We've only been there for 2 months, you know, and the opportunity is incredible for coming alongside these students in a very formidable time in their life and sharing with them vision and passion and desire for what God might have them do. A lot of them come into the program, into the aviation program, thinking they're going to the corporate or commercial, or they're making a lot of money. And I can honestly come along to them and say that we've been in a position where we've been able to make a pretty good income prior to going to the mission field. But then really, truly, in the big scheme of things, what does that matter? And we can tell stories and we can share how the experience that we've had overseas has impacted us, but impacted the people that we've been able to touch as well. I want to show a quick video. Are we still going on time? We're doing okay? He's like, sure. I want to show a quick video of what we were doing over in CAR. This was put together by a Voice of the Martyrs. And it just gives a depiction of, it's kind of all over the place. You're going to see some church structures that look to be somewhat intact. You're going to see some church structures and hangars that were completely destroyed. You're going to see some huts and some villages that look like they were brand new and just sprouted up. They were. You're going to see what looks like a little bit of a trail that's been widened out, and that's our runway. But look at the people. Look at the people. Look at the eyes of some of them are desperate, calling out. But look how they react to us being able to come in and love on them and recognize them and see them for who they are, brothers and sisters in Christ. So why don't you watch this and I'll finish up.
Is this the kingdom and we're the guests? So put your voice up to the
I want to thank you as a church through your support here at Grace Point. You are an extension of what we're able to do to the far reaches of the earth, spreading the gospel. The Bible school, you saw part of it had been destroyed. They're starting to bring it back in another area. The Bible school is back up and running, training new pastors. We're able to get these supplies into the church, and then the church is able to distribute them to the people that need them. And so I want to thank you. Continue to pray for the brothers and sisters in Central African Republic, amongst the Zandi people. Pray that the conviction to the rebels, they'll move out, go back to where they came from. Or pray for conversion, as we have seen. There are conversions happening amongst these rebel people, amongst Muslim people. God is moving. God is getting through. God is winning. God will continue to win. God won. And we just are a part of seeing it through. So I want to thank you for, as a church, for supporting us. Thank you, Pastor, for giving us the opportunity to share this. And there, after this is all done, when everybody's dismissed, I ask them if they want to play. There's one more video. As you're walking out or heading out, it's a video of the trucks that somebody saw a couple days ago, and they're like, we wanted to see the truck video again. And it's a video of the trucks of getting these supplies, that 4-week trip. And it's just pretty crazy, some of the roads. So whenever you guys complain about the pothole in your driveway out here, sorry, no offense, or any potholes that might be on the New York roads, just think of this video. And that's after Pastor releases us. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Joel and Lorena, for coming and just sharing what the Lord is doing through them, but through our giving. But some of you might say, you know, maybe the Lord wants me to be a pilot. And, you know, the Lord moved them when they were not teenagers. They were in their 30s, probably. Is that right? Oh, higher than that? Oh, I won't say even. But, you know, when some people say, well, you know, this is, you know, the Christian life is boring. I think this is an adventure. This is an adventure. And an adventure can be an adventure every day, really. As we look to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And some of you, the Lord might be leading you, maybe something like this. Maybe a different aspect of missions. It doesn't have to be a pilot, but boy, you know, I'm real old, and I would, you know, kind of love to be a pilot, but it's probably too late for me. Not that I'm afraid of heights, but, you know, landing, taking off and landing, you know. I always think we got to go faster when I'm going on these jets. But, you know, the Lord could be just touching your heart today. To invest in not this earth, but to come. And investing in people's lives. It's pretty evident, wasn't it, that it was the people. Let's stand, we'll have a closing word of prayer. And then if you want to watch the next video, you can sit back down, I guess. I don't know how soon we'll start it, but we'll give you a chance for those who want to leave that you can do that. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. Even in the midst of chaos and what seems to be not our plans, we know that you're in control, that you have a plan, and that through your plan, others will come to you. Thank you for your church in CAR and in Uganda, in Kenya. We pray that you would continue to keep them strong and looking to you for strength and hope and help as they tell others about the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the women in this house of hope. We pray that you would continue to work in their hearts and the leaders that are there, that they would see Christ as the one that gives them a future, gives them purpose in life. We thank you for our investment in this as a church. May we continue to do that, both in our giving as well as praying. And we pray that you would continue to lead and guide each of us, and some of us may be looking at investing and sharing Christ in somewhere else, in a different land than here. But meanwhile, Lord, help us as individuals and as a church to take up the opportunities we have to share Christ with others. Give us a good week ahead. We thank you for this time together this morning, and we pray that you would give us safety throughout the week, and we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed for those who would like to go. And Joel and Lorraine, will you be out in the foyer?
I will.
Okay, and if you want to talk to them, they'll be there.